I have an alpha and base. Let's say Amarava. Travaya Tanini. Travaya, the two halachs that learned previous staff called Tuma Belua. Tuma Belua, entire Belua, has already been taught. In other words, there was a question that we remember in whole Drasha that the Mishnah, the purpose of the Mishnah was to teach us the halacha of Tuma Belua and Tahara Belua, which basically means that if a person puts his hand into a woman, a chaya, a midwife, is helping a woman give birth, and she puts her hand inside the woman's womb, and she touches a dead fetus. So the woman, the chaya, does not become tamei meis because...
She does become
tamei. So it says, chaya tamei, to mashiva, she becomes, but the isha is tahara. So the question is, right? The question is, why is the isha tahara? Because it's called tuma belua. Okay, so now we're going to discuss, and then the Gemara went to the sugya, she got tuma belua, and then the Gemara discussed halacha of tahara belua. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the halachas in much more detail. So Amar Rava, daf ayin aleph amid beis, Amar Rava, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. Kendega the Shiva Yarche Leda. Okay, the Shiva Yarche Leda. Tisha Yarche Leda. Okay, Tisha Yarche Leda. I'm trying to turn this thing off so it should not disturb me. Chutzpah. Disturbing me over here. Key airplane mode. Now we're on airplane mode. Flying high.
Abosna had a fucking cup. Look what he came out of him.
You're making me feel great, Joseph.
That impressive.
Omarava, Tarvaya Tanini, Tuma Balua Tanina, Tahara Balua Tanini. We learned these halachas. Here we go. Where did we learn these halachas? Tuma Balua Tanini. We learned that Tanan Bola Tabasta, a person swallows a Tabas Tamea. A human being, he swallows a Tabas, a ring that's Tamea. So now what happens? So
I have your Tahara. Oh, okay, yeah, I have it.
Tamea. Toivel, he goes to Mikvah, Va'ichal Betumah. So no problem. He goes into the Mikvah. He's Tamei. The person became Tamei when he ate it. That the Gemara is going to say in a few moments. Rashi is going to point it out. When the person swallowed the ring, he took a piece of metal, he put it into his mouth. It has to be, when he put it into his mouth, it made contact with his body. He touched it. How did it get into his body?
It's not a base of belief.
So he became, the person, when he made contact with the ring, the person became Tamei. That's a given. Now the ring goes into his stomach. So now, okay, so anyway, he's Tamei because he touched the ring. Now he goes to Mikvah. And when he comes out of Mikvah, so his body is tahar, and the ring inside of his body, which did not make contact with the water of the Mikvah, remains tummy in his stomach. Big deal. No problem. He comes out, Bola Tabas Tameya, Toivel, he can go to Mikvah, V'oichel Bitru Masa. Interesting, don't mix the point. I didn't see anyone here on the page make a point that why are we not concerned that when the truma goes into his stomach, it will make contact with the stomach. That point will come out.
Like with the ring.
Right, it's going to come out either Agav and the Gemara at that point. But like, well, this interesting point, the Gemara right now is not even discussed. I'm assuming the reason why the Gemara does not make mention is that because
it's Belua.
Once, no. See, the Gemara doesn't talk about that. Why
it's
didn't?
Ickle, it's Ickle.
Oh, exactly. That's what I want to say. Is that once the Truma has become chewed, it's not called Truma anymore. The prohibition to be Metame Truma is only when it's in its raw state. Once you chew it, and it gets smushed, it no longer has the status of truma. So whatever touches in the stomach, even if you'll tell me a halacha, lu yitzuya, even though we're not going to say that, you'll tell me there's nothing called tuma belua, the truma does not become tamei. So here's the case. We have tamei limited to tuma belua, but tamei limited to bolam tamas tamei. Toivel, va'eichel, the truma, so this person can go to mikvah, they can eat the truma, period. Okay, we're done. He goes to mikvah, and he's now allowed, he's allowed to eat truma. Hekiah. Let us say he vomits out the metal ring. So what happens? Number one, Tameya. Number one, the metal ring is Tameh. Don't think that by him going to Mikvah, that automatically is Metahir, the metal ring. The same way the metal ring was Tameh before he swallowed it, it remains Tameh in his body, even though he went to Mikvah, and the Mikvah has succeeded in lifting the Tumah from his body. The Mikvah did not remove the Tumah from the ring. Next, the Tim Atu, and when he vomits it out, it's going to make contact with the outside of his body, even b'mashahu. It'll touch his lips on the way out, so he becomes tamei when the ring comes out.
Excuse my French, but what if it goes out the other way?
So let's say it goes out the other way. How come it only says hekiah? How come it says hekiah? So l'chayr, it's the same halacha. I would assume it's the same halacha. Because it says clearly that the ring remains tamei. And when it comes out of the body, it's still making contact with the body. So I would assume it's the same halacha. Why then did the Mishnah not say the word, another word? It said Hekia. Gvald Kasha, I don't know the answer. But Pasha says a Zelbazach. You want to maybe suggest that if it goes down the regular digestive tract, that there's a degree of change, that it's called equal for a week?
No.
Staminat. Staminat, right? It doesn't make a difference.
Can't break. The body cannot break down metal.
Exactly. But maybe you want to say that since it's already, it's immersed in soya, so maybe, I don't know. Pasha says not, right? Why? But it's the kasha, gavaldik kasha. Why then did it say the Udafka word hits Hekia? The Mishnah could have said, the Brahis could have said a word which is neutral. Either way, why does it say word Hekia? I don't know the answer.
Can I ask you something? How the opening of the
pita bas?
No.
I mean the rectum.
No, no. Opening of the trachea. What's the opposite of the trachea? What's the other?
The esophagus.
The esophagus. How big is it? The opening.
I don't know.
A ring of fish? No, I'm just interested.
Whatever it is. Maisha kachoya.
Yeah, okay. Maisha
kachoya. Hikia tmeid v'tumato. Now, tahorub now. So therefore, it's a fair mishnah. So what then do we need the mishnah?
What's like hikia tmeia? What's the halach of tumasai?
Tmeia, the ring remains tamei. And v'tumato, and it is metame the person.
Tahara goes on the next line, yeah?
Right, now we go next kash. We said that the mishnah, the purpose of the previous mishnah was to teach halach of tahara balua. If you have tahara that's swallowed in the person's body, it's not affected by the environment.
Even though
the person becomes tamei
afterwards,
whatever inside the stomach remains inside. That's what the Mishnah was teaching us derech agaf. So I don't need the Mishnah teaching me that. I know that from a Farish Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? The today we learned it. The second of the Mishnah. Bola tabas tehoira. A person when he's in the state of tahara, he swallows a tabas tehoira. V'nichnas oil hames. And now he enters.
I'm sorry, you skipped a few words before Tanina.
Tahara blua tanena. Correctly, where is the kasha? This halacha that we learned before in the previous staff, tahara blua, this halacha of tahara blua, I don't need a mishnah, masech techulin to teach me this halacha. Tahara blua is a concept. On the previous staff, the Gemara said, we didn't learn this yesterday, we didn't get so far. The Mishnah said, there's a halacha in the Mishnah, and the Gemara said the purpose of this Mishnah is to teach us the principle called tahara blua. Frank the Gemara, he was going to explain in one moment what it means. The Mishnah Chulin is teaching us this principle. Frank the Gemara, I don't need the Mishnah Masech to Chulin to teach me this principle because this already was taught to us in a different Mishnah. It was taught to us in Masechta, which Masechta? Masechta Menachos. Okay, is Masechta Menachos? Is that where it is? Whatever it is, okay? It was already taught to us. Tanena. Where do we learn this? It says here as follows. Bola tabas tahayra. A person swallows a ring that's tahayra. V'nichnas l'oil hames. He goes oil hames, and then so he becomes tamei. He's now an avatama.
He touched
a dead body.
Yeah,
why that oil hames? Oh, so I think the chiddush is because the oil hames is a chiddush. You would think it's more penetrating than just touching. If you just touch, so it's tamus maga. Tamus maga. So then goes to what's in the stomach. It's maga de maga. So maybe it can't be metame what's in the ring. Let me say a bigger chiddush. Too much oil is penetrating. It's a very good point. But Pash, it's not. But what are the cases? You can be nikadik. Like you say, you can go to shul for 100 years, take all the chiddushim. Enochanami. But right now, Pash, he becomes tame. Vihiza. So his entire body is tame. So he's now an avatoma.
And now, inside also.
Well, that's the question. That's going to be the dilemma. That's the question. And now, what do they do to him? They go and they do hazah. On day 3 and day 7, he goes to mikvah and he's tahar. Vizah v'shana, the day 3, v'shana, day 7, v'taval goes to mikvah. And now, vehe ki'ani vamitz, harehi k'mosha hoysa, so the ring remains tahar. Now, the Gemara wants to say chiddush is that it's not mistaver that the hazah and the mikvah has an effect on the inside. Tuma, we know, penetrates through and through. That we know.
You mean through and through how?
Tumma in the body.
Every aspect of the
Tumma, the koyach of Tumma is a greater koyach. How do you know this? I do not know.
Only from the outer.
Everything.
A person, not inside.
A person is an oil hames. That's the point. The person is an oil hames. He's tummy. His whole body is tummy. The ganze body is tummy.
But not now, inside.
No. Well, that all depends upon the principle of Tumma blue, not Tumma blue. That's what we're coming to in one moment. Now, after he comes outside, what do they do to him? They do hazah. Hazah day 3. Where do they apply the hazah? Where do they sprinkle the water? On the outside of his body. When he goes to mikvah, does the mikvah go into the inside of his body? The water of the mikvah only touches the outside of the body. It doesn't touch the inside of the body. And now
what happens if he opens his mouth?
It doesn't matter.
The mikvah?
There's no din
no,
mikvah.
What about the inside?
It does. There's no din mikvah on the inside of the body. The whole din mikvah is all on the outside of the body. I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe you're right. But Pasha says the hazah and the mikvah, Pasha's on the outside of the body.
Okay.
So he comes out, right now he comes outside. Now, he vomits now the ring. He vomits the ring. So now here you can, now he questions, what's the status of the ring? Do we say, here's the dilemma, that since this, even though the ring started out in the very beginning as being tahar, when he swallowed the ring was tahar, but now that he went into an oil hames, maybe, we can argue, maybe, the tum of the oil hames has penetrated all the way deep down into his body and contaminated not just the body, contaminated the ring. The ring.
What about if he touched the
mace? And now,
okay.
So let's assume for the sake of simplicity, it was his kasha. That was his kasha. What's, why Dako oil hames not touching? Let's assume for the sake of simplicity, it doesn't make a difference. It's the same din. Okay, maybe there's you make a whole lamna shavar. Pashas right now, we do not need to come on to that now. Now, after he comes out of the oil hames, what do? They do hazah day 3, day 7, he goes to mikvah. So we can argue that the hazah of day 3, day 7, and mikvah is only metame, the outside.
Metaher,
the outside. But the ring, once the ring is inside the body, and the ring became tame because the ring was in an oil hames, and the ring itself never got hazah, no one ever took the ring and sprinkled water on the ring. No one ever took the ring and put the ring in the mikvah. The mikvah did not touch the ring. The ring only touched, but the ring became tame. Why did the ring become tame? Because it was in the oil hames. Just like the person was in the oil hames, the ring was in the oil hames. The person became tame, and the ring became tame.
Where do you see the ring became tame?
That's the dilemma. Maybe not, but the dilemma is that since the person and the ring were in the oil hames, that's why it says dafka the oil hames, and does not say negia. You don't need to come on to touch it. If you come on to touch it, taka, you're in a lot of trouble. So no one ever touched the ring. The ring touched the person, not touched the ring. But when you're in oil hames, you don't need touch. When a human being or any object, any utensil is found inside an oil hames, it automatically becomes tame just by being there. Life is all about 95% about showing up. Miyamazeh. Life is all about showing up. You're in the room. If you're in the room, you're Tame. Bezehu. Jackie Mason. Yeah. Life is about showing up. So if you're in the room, that has a halach principle. Tuma. If you're in the room with this Tuma, you're Tame. You don't have to touch. Your presence is enough. Is the ring in the room? Yes. Is the ring Tame? We can argue it certainly is. Now, we want to achieve Tahara. We sprinkle water on the person. We put him in the mikvah. Did the Parah Aduma water ever touch the ring? Never. Did the mikveh ever touch the ring? Never. So you can argue the ring remains Tame. Now when this person vomits out the ring after this entire process, we should say the ring is Tame. Kamash Milan. No, we don't say that. You know why? The ring never got Tame. It's called Tahara Bilua. When this fellow walked into the oil hames, even though in his belly he has a ring, the ring is balua. The mela, it was tar, it remains tar. And now when he vomits it out, it was tar like it was from the very, very beginning. So this is a beferish mishnah. We don't need a mishnah mesechta chulin.
Couldn't I learn out the case of tamea balua from the case of tar balua?
Could you learn out the case of tamea balua where he swallows a ring that's tame, a ring that's tame, and then he's metaher himself, and then he vomits out the ring? So the ring is Tomei and it's Matami. So
person,
why don't we go say...
This person who is Avia Avos HaTumma, Oil Hames.
I hear what you're saying. I got to think about this. I don't know the answer. Pasha says we want, maybe since the laws of Tumma Vatira are not really logical, they are very spiritual laws, maybe you cannot learn out one from the other. Here's something very kasha. I don't know. But the Gemara seems to say no. The Gemara, Pasha says that the halachas are so unique, Tumma Vatira, you cannot learn out one from the other. Good. Exactly. So what do we do? So we have a kasha. So now the Gemara says an incredible answer. This answer is mamash. How often do you have a Gemara like this? Where the Gemara says a chidush, then mamash makes you jump. This chidush we're about to learn is really, it's in a class by itself. You know the Gemara, right?
Now that I'm looking at it, it looks familiar.
It's a class by itself. What's the answer? The case going with his fellow, the case of our Mishnah, what's unique about the Mishnah over here in the Mishnayis, and not the Mishnah, and not the Mishnah over there, is in Masech Lechulin is, you swallow two inks. Achas Tameya, the Achas Tahira, the La Mitame La Tameya La Tahira. Hermaisa, you swallow two inks, Tumbalua, and you go to and the two wings inside the stomach are touching one another. So why don't we say, what do you mean, Svarasha? Shtei tabois. Atzalo echa, shtei tabois shal ha-shenis. So why don't we say that the ring that touched, the one ring that touches the other one should contaminate the other. Right?
So long as they can't.
So you know what the answer is? No, even separately, you know what the answer is? They're in different domains. It's an incredible chiddush. They're in a domain. You're in a domain. The belly is a domain. A reshus where the world, the laws of Tumah v'Tahara do not operate.
Wow.
Incredible. So even though it's touching, the mamish touching one another. It's not the pshat. We until now not having the thought that.
What's that lacha? If two metals outside touch.
Of course, the one contaminates the other. It's a given.
What level?
Assuming it's the highest level. Assuming it's
no, I'm talking about a sword.
Yes, an avatoma, and a sur can even be an avyavoisatoma. Can be avoisatoma. Even if it's an avatoma,
and
av make a reshrain.
So, how do you take this case of the two rings now and sell shtel and su to the reisha and the sefer, the Mishnah?
The reisha and the sefer, bola, let's talk, using a very good question. Rash, listen, let's see, we're going to talk bola talas tineya. Let's read the words again. Yisrael tabas tineya, the toivel v'yoichel b'chumasai. Fine, you can eat it. Hekia, you vomit it out. Tineya, it's tineya. The timatun contaminates the person, but does not contaminate the ring inside. If there's another ring inside that's tahara, never contaminated it. Tahar blu b'tanena, tanan bola tabas tahara, v'nichnas lo'el ha'meis, v'hizah v'shon v'tabah v'hiki ha'rezeh kimoy k'moy shahayitza. It did not get contaminated by another tabas that was in there that was takotame. Okay, that's what you have to say. I hear you saying, you have to say that the case of this going, when both of these cases, when you're swallowing the rings, already in the belly, there was a ring of the other type. And did not get contaminated by making contact. So it's going to be an incredible question. Until then, we thought the reason why Tumah Tahara, Tumah Balua, and Tahara Balua is because you are protected. In that, the rules of Tumah V'Tahara function 100%. The only reason why the word Tumah V'Tahara is not going to happen is because you're protected. You're in a shell. You're in a shell. But inside that shell, the rules of Tumah V'Tahara operate regular. The Gemara now is telling you, Chiddush, that in this domain, inside the belly, the laws of Tumah V'Tahara do not operate. And if something that's an Ava Tumah or an Aviyah Vaisa Tumah touches another utensil, nothing happens.
But outside,
of course
one,
it happens.
It goes one level below, one level
one
down.
Level down. Well, it depends. That there's a set of rules. But metal generally not. Metal, whole shot, only sword. But metal usually does not go down a level. It stays
so
at the same it, level.
So metal is
avia
vasatuma, and then the other
ones. Even metal that's avatuma. I don't remember all details. Even a level of metal that's avatuma also maintains
It touches another
level. Only by an av. Once you get down to another level, it's very complicated. I don't remember the details. But whatever it is, the point of view we want to make over here is that inside the mother's womb, inside the person, a human being, mokim, the rules of Tumah and Tahara do not operate. Is that a chiddush? Incredible chiddush.
On the side of the street to suspend it.
Exactly. They don't work. The mamish don't work. The rules don't operate. And that is unique. Now, Frek the Gemara, really? If you're telling me such a chiddush, you're going to be the line of trouble because now, look at our Mishnah, Masech Tehillah, and you're going to have a big, big problem now. What's the problem? But Ubar v'chaya, we have in the Maisa, we have an Ubar, a baby, and a Chaya, a midwife. Dichashtei tabois tamu. What's the halacha? The Chaya sticks her hand into the inside of the mother. The mother is giving birth.
Yeah.
And she's giving birth to a stillborn. The baby's dead. And it says in the Mishnah, if the Chaya, the midwife, sticks her hands into the mother's womb and touches the dead baby, what is the halacha? The Chaya becomes tamei meis. Correct? The mother remains tahira because as far from the mother's perspective, it's tumah balua. But from the chaya's perspective, so she's going inside. She's going inside, so she becomes an avatoma. What are you talking about? You just finished telling me that in the mokum of that's balua, the laws of tumah v'tahara do not operate. It's suspended. So the whole, this is a raya listar. You're saying a chiddush in this second set of Mishnayis to answer why it's necessary. But the chiddush you're saying is such a great chiddush. It's a head-on contradiction to what it says in the Mishnah. The ubar, the chaya, the case of an ubar and a chaya. Tichshtei tabois tamu, like two tabois. The kometamo lo ubar lechaya, and the ubar is contaminating the chaya.
What does chaya mean?
A chaya means a midwife. Oh. A woman who's helping the woman give birth. She sticks her hand inside the womb and she touches the dead baby. Yeah. It says in the Mishnah she's an avatumah. Why is she an avatumah? Inside the mokim belua, the laws of tumah v'tahara are suspended. Chaya is Hena, the midwives.
The babies are coming out alive.
Here they're dead, the babies.
No, Chaya is Hena. I'm just saying the midwives are called
Chaya. A midwife is called a Chaya. It says that Hamayalda is for Ivrios. Asha Shemachat Shif, and Shemach Shem is poor. Be a let Chemes for Ivrios, Elisim and Lavnoim, and Behu Vamitoin, or Seven Basi, Vachoya. Vatrena Hamayaladois. It does not call them the Chayos. The babies are called the Chayos. Okay, but Uba Vachaya of the Shtay Taboys Tabu, they come with Tam Lulu and Chaya. Omar Rava, Shani Uba Choya, Omar, I'm sorry, thank you. Omar Rava, Shani Uba Choya.
Taryag.
4213. Omar Rabba, Shani Uba Hoyle, the Sofer Losses, and who know you new site. That any time, the only time you apply this principle. The only time you apply this principle that Tumah Balua, the rules of Tumah Balua are suspended in the Mokim Balua is only something that's not going anywhere, something that's going to remain put. But if you have a situation where the item which is meant to be metame is on its way out, cannot be sustained in that mokoyim, it has to leave. So then what is the halacha? I must have learned from reading your wife's articles.
No, it's important to the next part of the Gemara. Yeah, sustained.
Omar Rabba, shiny ubar hoil the soifei lot says. So since the ubar is destined to depart from this mokoyim, Mimela, this principle of Rabba does not apply. Does not apply. Rava's principle doesn't apply. Rava's coming to the end of Rava. The principle of Rava does not apply, and we say that the rules of Tuma Vitahara work like regular. If the Chaya touches a dead fetus, that's not called Tuma Balua. Tuma Balua is Menogia the mother. The mother, the Tuma is Balua with regard to her. But the Chaya is entering her hand into this Mokoyim. So it's not Balua for the Chaya. Why do you want to say the Chaya should be Tahara? Because Balua, anything that's Balua, the laws of Tumah V'Tahara do not apply. It's not so. The laws of Tumah V'Tahara do not apply only in a Mokoyim Balua where they're not meant to come out. They're meant to remain put the way they are. But in a situation where the source of Tumah is meant, Lot says, then we do not apply the Chiddush of Rava. And we say that, no, the rules of Tumah V'Tahara do apply. So what's the obvious next kasha? And a ring? So where was the case of Rava taught? The rules do not apply where two rings touch one another. Are the rings meant to stay inside of a person's belly?
That's what you use the word sustained. It could stay there.
It could? It can't stay there. Let's see. Frank the Gemara. Amar Rava Shani Uba Chol Yosef Lotz. Amar Rava. Uba. You tell me Uba Sofer Lotzes. Tabas. Ain't Sofer Lotzes. The Tabas. You're telling me is not Sofer Lotzes. The Chiddush of Rava was taught in the situation of rings. That one ring will not contaminate the other ring. Frank the Gemara. But when it comes to the Uba is Metame, the Chaya. And what's the answer? No, don't bring me a kash from the Uber, because the Uber is Sofer Lotzes. And the rings are not Sofer Lotzes. Rings, it's not healthy for a ring. It has to come out of the body one way or another.
I'm warm. How?
Either he's going to vomit it out, or it's going to go out the other way.
No, I don't think so.
It's going to stay in the body forever, a ring?
Yeah, someone told me, yeah. Even pits sometimes.
Okay, pits, I don't know the answer here, but the Gemara is asking a kasha. The Gemara here is saying is Tabas.
The Gemara
Amar
Uba Sofer Lotzes.
Tabas ain't Sofer Lotzes. Rashi bit mea. Of course, we're looking at also. So the Gemara says, you know, so you got me. You got a good kash. Let's figure out the answer. Omar Elamar Rava. So Rava now is going to therefore this answer is completely slugged up. Incredible. We had a very nice fantasy world here with Shachidish to say that in a Mokim Balua, the rules of Tumah V'Tahara are not operational, and the Gemara now has cancel that svara. It's been rejected arois from the Beis Medrash. So now back with the kasha. So why then do we need a mishnah mesech tchulin to teach us the principle of tuma balua and tar balua when it's beferish of other two mishnayos? So we just learned mesech menachos el marava. Here's the answer. Pumpedisoi, the people of Pumpedisa, yadi time also. They know the answer. And when I say the Pumpedisoi, I don't mean all of them. I mean there's one particular person, one fellow who come from Pumpedisa, Uman, who is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was a citizen of Pumpedisa, and he knows the answer to this question. He was looking. This used to call people, even in Europe, they used to call you. You come a little shtetl. They call you by your name. You come a little shtetl. I once went out of town. And I met a guy, Chassidus Shagan. He said to me, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Brooklyn." So where in Brooklyn? Flatbush. Oh, the Flatbusher. He called me the flat. My entire stay, he didn't call me by my name. He called me the Flatbusher. You were called by your shtetl.
I once roommated with Etz Yisrael Digger, who's a chassan, and I told him I didn't have my alarm clock. Could you please wake me up in the morning if you wake up before me? He said, sure. We had a conversation the night before, where I'm from, what my name is. I was living in Manhattan at the time. So he wakes me up. Manhattan? No, this is a true story. Manhattan? So what are you joking around with me in the morning? I thought your name is Manhattan.
Because you come from Manhattan.
He thought my name was... He never heard of the word Manhattan.
Okay, all right, listen.
He got confused. He thought my name was Manhattan.
All right. Pumbedisoi. Here's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Pumbedisoi yadi time lahim also. The man who is Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yosef. I'm Shmuel. Mutumo zu einu b'divrei Torah. Elam b'divrei Torah. Enechanayim. And whole new Yisait. This tumah is not b'divrei Torah. Elam b'divrei Torah. Which tumah are we referring to? The tumah of the rings. Of the chaya, right. The mishnah is not like right. The tumah of the rings are real tumah. The raisa, the mishnah. You know why the mishnah is discussing the halach of the chaya becoming tameh? This is not a tumah. The raisa, a dead baby is not mitameh. It's not pshat tumah balua. We were misled. We thought the whole mishnah was all a chiddush of tumah balua. It's not tumah balua. It's not a tumah altogether. It's as long as it's balua, we're going to be mekel, and it's not going to be metame, not because it's tumah balua. Tumah balua is a din d'oraisa.
That's only shy by a ring.
But a fetus...
Metal.
But a fetus, is not even metame midoraisa. A fetus is not a bar kayama.
The resoifer meaning?
Midrabanan.
Why is it called the resoifer? Why not the rabanan? Why the resoifer?
I don't know.
If you look at the Rambam,
it's a different thing. Yeah, different seferim is a different level than the regular Rambam.
Oh.
And if you look at Dagdam and the Rambam, he differentiates between Divrei Rabbanan and Divrei Seferim. That Divrei Seferim is a deraisa, but something you learn after the Yugud Midrash. Something that's not before it, that's explicit.
Okay, but here he's saying I don't know what it means.
Quanta Rambam, he says,
let's see. It's not Eina Midivrei. The Gemara literally elaborates a stickle on this. Eina Midivrei, Eina Midivrei Seferim. My, the Gemara, frankly, the Gemara. So just cut to the chase. Just say Tumazu is only Tumazu Midivrei Seferim. Why the verbosity? Why does the Gemara say Tumazo Eina Midivrei Torah?
What does verbosity mean?
Too many words.
Oh,
verbiage.
Okay.
Too many words. So Tumazo Eina Midivrei Torah, Elam Midivrei Seferim. My Eina Midivrei Torah. Why do you have to go say Eina Midivrei Torah? Just say it's Midivrei Seferim, Elam Midivrei Seferim. Why do you have to say both? The Gemara says the answers. Deloy Tema Alib Rabbi Akiva Diyamar. Now, this is leading now into Machlaikis, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, which the Gemara is going to explain in one moment what the Machlaikis is. But the Gemara just looks in the Rosh Eprach, and then the Gemara is going to great elaboration. Deloy Tema Alib Rabbi, don't make a mistake. I think that this Mishnah is only being taught according to Rabbi Akiva Diyamar that says, Obar B'mei Isha Tamei. That says Uba Me Ima is tar, still Gazu Ba Tuma Midraban. In other words,
it's different by a human being than by an animal. In other words, an animal, it's just Uber Yerahima. It could die and still be.
There's nevela by an animal. Why,
I'm saying if an animal, if a baby's inside the animal, you shech the animal.
I think it appears to be the same halacha. If we hold by whatever halacha you apply to a human being, you can apply to an animal. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva that says that a dead fetus is a tumah deraisa, then is a tumah deraisa. Then by an animal, it'll also be.
If you shech the mother properly,
that's if you shech the mother. If you shech the mother. Right. Let's say you do not shech
the mother. The baby is dead inside.
The baby is so
the mother becomes mutter.
If you shech the mother. But if you do not shech the mother, let's say you do not shech the mother.
How does the baby become mutter?
If you shach the mother, there's a dead baby inside. It's a gzeres hakasa. It's a gzeres hakasa. But let's say at this moment in time, before you do the ma'aseh shechita, there's a dead baby inside. You're asking a lot of good questions. I don't know the answer. Let's first see the Gemara, and then we'll come back to your questions. Okay, let's see. Wait. Let's see the Gemara. You're jumping here. Let's see the Gemara. Is tar. Gazu ba tuma midrabanan. My timer. What's the reason? Let's read the whole case, and then we'll go back and listen to the whole thing. Because it's a gzera. What is the gzera? Shema yotzi vola droisha chus leprayzu. Because maybe the baby, the ubar, this time we said that the ubar inside the mother's womb is tar. There's no, even though it's dead, there is no
tumidarais.
According to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, why did, but even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that if a woman sticks, if a chaya sticks her hand inside the womb and touches the dead fetus, the chaya becomes tamei. Yeah. Why does she become tamei? Because everyone agrees, even Rabbi Shmuel, that if the dead ubar comes out into the world, roif, then the ubar is metamei. Everyone agrees to that.
Midaraisa.
So therefore,
the baby's alive.
Dead? What are we talking about? Alive?
About,
a human being?
Tumas Leida, okay.
No, Tumas Leida is the whole. No, no.
Tumas Leida is on the mother.
She can't be. She's not muta labala.
Right.
Now, in that case, when a dead baby comes out into the majority into the prosdar, into this canal, in this area, then there's tuma de oraisa. Therefore, because it's not easy to discern, it's not easy to see when the baby. We learned this a few days ago. We learned a few days ago. There's a difference between an animal and a human being. By an animal, the baby just pops out. There is no prostar. By an animal, when the mother opens up the womb, the baby pops out. There is no antechamber. By a human being, there is a prostar, which is a very small area, which hides to a degree the tsura of the baby. Mm-hmm. So it's not noticeable. The baby comes out into the world, the majority, unless you're a very big mumche and you clearly see what's going on, you may not even realize that the majority has come out of the rechem. Because it is...
The majority, you're talking about the head?
The baby. Yeah, even the head, whatever it is. It's not so clear to determine the baby has come out in its majority. Therefore, the body made a
zero.
Why is that
so clear? You could see.
There's a prozdar. The Gemara is saying, you can't see. The Gemara is saying there's something called a prozdar. And this prozdar, it hides, it confuses, it clouds the clarity of determining
so
if the majority came out.
So you tell me you don't know whether the fetus came out of the prozdar, but not out of the rechem?
The baby came, no. The baby comes out of the rechem into the prozdar. When it comes out of the rechem, there's a rechem and there's a prozdar. When the baby comes out of the rechem, either over the head or over the body, it's called yolud. Now,
when you say rechem, you're talking about the private part, no?
I don't know the full anatomy. I don't know. Even if you know the anatomy, you have to have Chazal understand
rechem
the anatomy. There's the rechem and there's the prosdar.
Oh,
the rechem is inside. The prosdar is outside.
Exactly, the womb, okay, then.
Whatever it is, you need pictures to go and see the anatomy of how it works. But whatever the situation is, Chazal said that when the baby comes out of the rechem, berubay, the baby is called yolot. However, where is the baby coming out to? It's not coming out into the oilam. It's coming out into the prosdar. And the prozdar, it distracts you, it clouds your vision.
Okay.
So therefore, there's a very high possibility, and a chance, that a chaya, she will think that the baby is still in the rechem, and not realizing that the majority of the baby already has come out into the prozdar. And she's going to think, I'm tar. I touched a dead baby, but I only touched it when it was inside. Min HaTayr, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if a dead baby is in the rechem, and you put your hand inside, you're tar. So now the chayah is touching the dead baby, and she says, I'm tar, because I'm touching the dead baby inside the rechem. She doesn't realize it's not in the rechem. It's already berubay in the prozdar. It's very easy to make that mistake. And because it's so easy to make that mistake, Chazal made a gzera.
Right.
And they said that if you put your hand inside,
right,
even mamish inside, you
since
become
you don't
tamei.
Know. Yeah.
Since you can't see. Frek the Gemara.
What?
According to the Shulam, you're telling me that Raisa. You're telling me the Raisa.
So what?
So what was the Moritz? The Moritz question was, why do we have to say Midirai? It's not to Midiraisa, it's only to Midirabanan, because you want to emphasize that we're not going like Rabbi Akiva. Because according to, if we would say this is a tumah midivrei soifer.
I would think it's only because it's still inside. That's why.
Oh, you're saying, let's chazak one more time. Let's go back up one more line. Let's go back up. Uman Rabbi Yosef, Tumazo, Einoi midivrei toira, Ella midivrei soifer. When a chaya puts her hand inside, it's tumah, it's she's tame. She is tame. She is only tame midera banan. She's not tame midera. Okay, Achaya puts her hand inside. It says that she's an ava tama.
Tell
the koyach of Rabbi Shmuel. Ah, ena midera toira. In fact, the Gemara, my ena midera toira. Why he's saying it's ena midera toira? Ela midera. Why he's saying that? Deloy tema. Don't say Ali Rabbi Akiva. We're not going to learn Akiva. That's the purpose why I want to say. Because if you would just say that this she's tamea. She's Tanea, you would think that we're going like who? Like Rabbi Akiva. Well, yeah, like Rabbi Akiva. The Yama Uba Bame Isha Tame.
And if we just say.
Let's see Rashi. My Eina Midivre Torah. Rashi, it's a list, wide line. Lama Leila Meimar Kulahai. Leima Tumazo Dure Seifrim. Mishum Gezerah. Let's say this Tumaz Dure Seifrim. Mishum Gezerah. The first of the Kame. Loi Tame. Here comes the Gemara's answer. Mas Nisan Rabbi Akivi. The Yamar Ubar Meis Shebmeima Isha Tomei. Don't say Rabbi Akiva, it's Tomei. Hilkach, there from Tamal Chaya. The Tuma Belua Mitama. Oh, here's the key points of Rashi. You would say Tuma Belua Mitama Utahara Belua. Oh, here's the key words. Utahara Belua Mitama. The Isha Tahara. Mishum de maga beis hasesarim hu nacham all the time. Lo tema mas nisan Rabbi Akiva hi diamar uba mei shem mei isha tamei. Okay, he holds an uba mei is tamei. Hilkach mitamei lechaya. Why is the chaya tamei when she puts her hand inside? The tuma belua mitama, because even though it's belua, the tuma is inside mitama. It's going to contaminate the woman, the chaya, that puts her hand inside. Now, here are the hard words. Utahara belua. What does that mean? Mitama. Utahara belua. Where do you have tahar belua here? Where do you have tahar belua here in this case?
The gavadi mialedis. Tahar belua.
Utahara belua mitama. Where is it? Where is tahar belua mitama?
Okay.
Good, now weiter. Oh, slow.
Tahara belua mikabelis tuma.
Yeah. Venimsa tahara belua.
Tahara belua mikabelis tuma.
Hamialedes tmei min ha'toira. He is repeating Rashi. He's not explaining what Rashi means. He's not explaining the Rashi. No, I don't have it. I actually don't have it. I ran out of pages. I forgot to bring the next volume. All right, let's leave for now. Okay, let's leave for now. They probably do, but it's going to take forever to go through. Let's go weiter. Let's leave this for now. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara here is telling the Gemara like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara according to Rabbi Shimon that says what? What does he say? He says that it's a tumah midrabanan. If it's only tumah midrabanan, so why then if you put your hand inside it, what's the time? What's the lumnis? It's a gezerah. What's the gezerah? Because maybe next time the majority of the baby will come out into the prosdar. And if the majority comes out into the prosdar, then it's taka tumah deraisa, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, we'll gezer even when you put your hand inside. The Amar Abdum b'Meyuma imitame Ela Afid v'Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Uba b'Isha Tar Gazu Barab Tuma Midrabanan. My time. What's the reason? Amar Hoshia Gezer Shema Yotziv Loi Rosh Shechus. The Proizdar, outside the Proizdar. Okay, not in the Proizdar. Outside the Proizdar. Ihachi Isha Nami. So Gval Kasha. So therefore, the question here is: a woman. Why is the woman Tahara? Why don't we say the same Gezerah should apply to the mother? What's the Gezerah? Everyone agrees that when the dead baby comes out of the proizdar, the mother is also tameya. When the dead baby comes out of the proizdar, the mother is also tameya. So why don't we say the same way, the Chaya, when she puts her hand inside, it becomes Tameya, even though Minat Torah she's Tahira, Gezeira, because maybe the baby really came around out in its majority and she touched it. So we should say that if when the mother, once the mother, the rechem is open, and the mother is in the middle of labor, at that moment in time, even before the baby comes out, we should declare the mother Tameya. Mm. Because the mother will make a mistake and she'll think, I'm Tahira. Because the baby,
and the mind nafkimena.
Let's say she touches something before. She touches Tahiris in the beginning of the labor process. She's touching food, and then they tell the baby's dead. So she lets go. She doesn't touch the food anymore. So we should say it's too late. Once already the rechem is open and they know that it's a dead baby. So then the food that she touched at that moment in time should be tame.
Even before it comes out.
And yet the halacha is no. The halacha is that the food that she touched when the rechem was open before it comes out is tahira. We pass into tahira.
So why is that?
Why don't we make the same gezera? The answer is because the mother consents. When the baby doesn't make any mistakes. The mother senses when the majority of the baby is out and when the majority of the baby is inside.
She can sense it.
Whereas the Chaya has no sense.
She has to see.
She has to look with her eyes. So she can make a mistake, but the mother is not going to make a mistake.
One second, so go ask the animal.
Go ask the baby, you mean?
The feet.
One second.
No, the midwife. That's called the midwife?
The midwife.
When she's trying to help aid to, she's eight.
So she's Tamei when she puts her hand inside. Why? Because maybe she's making a mistake. By the mother. The mother has a sense of when it came out.
Where does it say this? What you just
the
said?
The Mishnah.
Now?
The Mishnah says
that the woman knows by herself.
The Mishnah says the mother is tahara.
Oh, it says
Ask the mother. Let the mother say.
Yeah.
And the mother will go.
That's true. The Chaya should ask the mother. Yeah.
No, the Tamla. The mother. The mother will say to the Chaya when the baby has come out the majority.
Nee.
So why are we going to make a gzera?
Yeah.
The Tamla the Chaya. The Gemara says Terida. She's too busy to tell that. She's in pain. She's in the process of labor. She's in the process of giving birth. When you're in the process of giving birth, it's an intense pain.
And what about when she gives birth?
She is giving birth.
No, I'm talking about when there's no chaya there. So
you're asking... That's not the case here. The case of the Mishnah is a woman is giving birth and there's a chaya putting her hand inside and touching the dead baby. So the question is, when it comes to the chaya, we declare the chaya tameya no matter what, mishum gzeira.
Right.
The mother, no. The mother knows when the baby is inside, when the baby is outside.
How is she going to know?
She senses.
No, but she's in labor. She can't concentrate.
Yes, she can concentrate. She can sense.
But she can't concentrate when she's talking to the chaya, saying, to
no, frek the Gemara, let the mother tell the chaya at this moment in time, the majority has come out.
Nee.
And therefore, don't touch anyone, you're going to become tameya.
She won't be able to focus.
She will not be able to, she's in pain.
It's amazing that the mother has better possibility of telling the Chaya herself is there right there. That's what
the Gemara said, because you can't see. Because the way she's crouching, because of the praiser, you can't see. She's busy in pain. Now that we know that's the Gemara, now we have to go back. Hopefully we'll understand the Gemara. Now let's go back.
Today in the hospital, it's the doctor.
Today's a different world. You tell you that the doctor is the Chaya.
A lot of midwives.
Today, okay, there is a midwife service.
People give birth at home?
These services.
It's safe to be in the hospital.
It depends if it's an easy, is a high risk pregnancy. It all depends on the pregnancies. There
are
certain high risk pregnancies where you have to go to special doctors. All different types of births. There are some births today that are very straightforward. There are some situations when they take a sonogram, or they take the woman's blood pressure, they know what's going on. They have, it's called a high risk birth. And they have to go to a special doctor.
The
mother can die and the baby can die.
How common is that?
I don't know. I have no idea. And then there are special doctors that specialize in high-risk births.
Really?
It's dangerous for the mother, dangerous for the baby. Hmm. Sometimes they demand the mother abort. They tell the mother that your blood pressure is through the roof. You're only 3 months pregnant.
And because the fetus is considered a roidive. So
that's right.
Yeah.
The mother can be 3 months pregnant and they tell the woman, you know, your numbers... Your numbers are mamish through the roof. And you continue this pregnancy, you'll be dead. You're not going to make it. So they say, we advise you to abort. and you go to a Rav, and the Rav says, do whatever the doctor says, don't come to me. Whatever the doctor says, you got to do.
Right.
And then they go to a second opinion. I know someone with a second opinion, and they say, we specialize in this. We have medicines. We have techniques. We monitor you.
Uh-huh.
We put you in a hospital for 6 months. You're not going nowhere. You're not going to move. We're going to tie you up. And it's called a high and a special doctors. Sometimes even the insurance doesn't want to pay for these type of doctors because they specialize and it's very expensive. You have to have private funding. So ganze meisa, chmon l'slan. So therefore, the movie. Okay, let's go right. My Rabbi Shmuel, my Rabbi Kivai. The movie is. Now we go back. We mentioned the machlekes. The machlekes tonight. The chaya puts her hand inside the mother's rechem is the tumah deraisa of the rabbanim. What exactly is the makor of the machlekes? Rabbi Akiva, who holds a dead baby inside, is metame midaraisa, and Rabbi Shmuel that holds that it's not. My Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, the title of the deraisa, the cholash yiga b'chol pnei hasadeh, shein the Torah, anything asher yiga al pnei hasadeh is tame. Okay, so the Gemara makes a drasha, the Pshut Shal Mikra, we're discussing over here, tumah, a person, look at the whole pasuk on the side of the Gemara. On the side of the Gemara, it says, "V'chol asher yiga al pnei hasadeh b'chalal cherev, anything which you touch, if a human being makes contact with a dead body, where is the dead body lying? On the field, or even a sword that was used to kill a person. B'chalal cherev, oive meis, oive etzem, adam, oive kader.
Yitma
shivas yom. A person, right, a person comes in contact with the dead, either a dead grave or a dead body, or a sword that was used to kill a person.
Or is it a bone?
Or a bone.
Which is more than a soira.
A bone, more than the size of a soira, correct. The size of a soira. Therefore, he becomes an avatoma. So it says he's talking for how long? For 7 days. And what does he need? He needs the paraduma water. Now, the Gemara makes a drasha. What is what's asher sode? What's this mother zach? Are you going to tell me the only time you become tummy you touch a dead body, the dead body is in the sode? Let's say the dead body is indoors. Let's say oil hamis. Let's say the dead body is in the city. Has to be in the sode? It's not true. We know from other sources that a dead body is metame for 7 days, even if it's in the ear. So why then did it say the word sode in the Torah?
Nee.
To make a drasha. To refer to the case of an ubar, a dead body in the mother's womb. A dead body in the mother's womb is not called a sod. A sod is just a code word for outside of the place where it belongs. The mechitzas, same drasha, treifa.
Yeah.
Outside,
same
drasha. Sod, exactly. Different sukkim is same drasha. It means consistent. It means outside of where it's supposed to belong. Kashikah panei asod, lechitzi ubar me'isha, to include an ubar, a fetus in the mother's womb. That if you go and you put, the person puts his hand, the fachaya, puts her hand inside the womb of a woman, and there's a dead body inside, it's not called a sodeh. It's a dead body, but it's not in the sodeh, it's in the ear. It's in the place where it belongs, so that there is no tumah d'oraisa. Who says this? Devar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Mer, I disagree with you. I need the pasuk the sodeh.
What's up? Quentin Rashwa is also the rabbanon.
That's the purpose. That's exactly the point. The point of here is that's exactly the drasha. Divrei Rishmol. When it says the word sodeh, it's
not
teaching tumma. You that there's no tumah because an uber is not in the sodeh. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says the word sodeh is an extra word, and it's coming to be marbe. What is coming to be marbe? Rabbi Akiva Omer the rabbis goyel v'doyfek the coffin. Now the whole shal, what exactly different opinion? What it means? So it means the Rashi says the goylel is the kisuch aron shal meis, the cover of the coffin. It's not the dead body. The cover of the coffin has a din of an avi avos, not an avatom avi avos. It's miyuchid lemeis. Anything that is designated for the dead body has the same status as the dead body. It's not avi avos.
It's in Lashem they cover up the graves called
the doyfek.
No, when they go to the cemetery, they cover, they put the dirt in.
Yeah. Goylel and doyfek. They're different interpretations. What do you mean? Doyfek Rashi says daf shenoistin bitzidoy on the side. Okay.
Where do you put a wood on the side?
When they a crypt. It seems like they put a body inside of a crypt, a burial crypt.
It's a crypt.
A crypt is like a dugout cave. You have a little cave. You dig out a little cave into a wall, and you put the body inside, and then you seal it. Man. How do you seal it? You put a piece of wood or a piece of material to close the opening.
Sort of like a morgue.
That what? Yeah.
A morgue.
Yeah, but yeah, like a mausoleum. Yeah. That is called a daf. The daf, the doifek, there, by the way, this is Rashi's interpretation. There are many, many perushim in the Rishonim. What is the precise meaning of goylel v'doifek? Rashi learns a goylel is a kisui lamala and a doifek is a kisui on the side. Okay,
stimas hagoyel.
Stimas hagoyel when they close it, when they put the earth. That's right. Called that's equivalent to stimas hagoyel. The way they bury people in ancient times is very different than the way they bury people today, but it's the same principle. Once it's finished, and that's called the goyel and the doifek. So what is what it would do for? That's according to Rabbi Akiva. That's when the pas sode is coming to be marbe goyel the doifek. That these things also are metame as an avatoma. Not just the dead body, not just the bone, not just the kever, but even a goyel v'doifek is metame with an avi avos hatoma. So therefore the word sode is not available, according to Rabbi Akiva, to teach you that a dead body that's outside of its mechitzos, an ubar, that is bimei, that is yotso, that is inside the mother's womb, is tar. You don't need, it's not available. So that is where Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Okay, so it all comes down to how
Rabbi Akiva says something, so it comes to tell us.
Goyel v'doifek. So the pasuk is now not why? Available. That these two items are mitame as an avi avoy satoma. So therefore, the word is not available to teach you.
Which word?
The word sode. The word sode is not available. The word sode is superfluous.
Right.
It's
right.
Extra.
Right.
So what do we do with it? So according to Rabbi Yishmael, he told us, it's coming to teach you a halacha that an ubar, b'mei imoy, is tar.
Mm-hmm.
A dead ubar. In the mother's womb is tar. Why? Because it's not called sada. Rabbi Akiva says that word is occupied. I need that word for a different drasha.
Oh.
It's coming to be marbe goylel v'doifeng.
Oh, I see.
So it's not available. If it's not available, what's the halacha?
Stoma.
A dead ubar b'me'ima is tame. Frank the
Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel. I'm just curious. How's that
include
goylel v'doifeng? A sada.
It's an extra, it's a drasha. It's an extra word. The Kedarik and Chazal take extra words and they just make drashas. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
I don't know the answer. Frag the Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael, Goyel al Vidoy. I think the question, the ball comes back in the other court. So how then does he know if he needs the pasuk of Sodeh to
Rabbi
teach
Shmuel,
you?
Definitely hold Goyel al Vidoy.
We're assuming yes. How does he know it? The Gemara says, Taka, we don't know it. It's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai.
It's
Mesorah. Does not say any pasuk whatsoever. Hilchas HaGemirula, Frag the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva, really? It comes out now that he does not have a drasha, Rabbi Akiva, that the Ubar Bime Ima is Tameh the Raisa. He doesn't have a drasha. Rabbi Akiva, Ubar Bime Ima is Tameh. So now the Gemara is like, what do you mean some time? Why don't you just say that it's called a mace? In other words, he says, the Gemara over here, look at Rashi. Rashi explains. In other words, Taima, the Tameh, the Loi Metar Le Mimashmuse, the Alpine Asade, Afilu Loi Miyata. Gemara is asking a very interesting question. It's still not a default. In other words, here's the point. It's a little bit strange. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we have an extra word sada. The extra word sada is teaching us explicitly that the ubar b'me'ima is tohar. Okay?
According to Rabbi Shmuel.
Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that word available. But frankly, Gemara, so what? Just because you don't have the word available to teach you that it's tohar, it's still not a given that it's Tomei D'Araisa.
Okay.
Isn't that a Chiddush? I don't know how to show the Gemara. Rashi explains. Rabbi Akiva, Rashi one more time. Rabbi Akiva, also call it Midaraisa Minole, the Tomei. Now Rashi is explaining. Deloi Mitarle Mimash Mu'use. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah. It doesn't take it out of its simple meaning. So we find the question.
Yeah.
You could learn both. It seems the Gemara's kasha is, what's so terrible here of learning from this one word, Pnei HaSodeh, two halachas? It says the word Sodeh, it's miyusur, the word is miyusur, to teach you what? Goylel v'doifek. But the Pshutoi Shel Mikra is teaching you Ubar B'mei Imoy is Tar. In other words, you could have avoided the word entirely. Gevalik.
Glad you have it.
So now that we have it, we're going to make a drasha to be Marbe Goyel V'doifik. It's Miyusr. But there's also a Pshutoi Shel Mikra. And the Pshutoi Shel Mikra Mimele teaches you Sode and not Ear. What does it mean, Sode not Ear, with regard to a dead body? Chutz L'Mechitzasai. What's Chutz L'Mechitzasai? The Uber. If the Uber is still B'mei Imoy, it should be Tar. So the Gemara is saying there's no harm, basically, in darshaning two drashas. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he says there's only one drasha. We have to use up the entire word Sode for one halacha only to teach you Ubar B'mei Imoy is Tar.
Yeah.
Rabbi Akiva says, no, I need the word sodet, it's miyusar, to teach me goyel v'doyvek. The Gemara says, you know what, you can have your cake and eat it too. The word is an extra word. We're going to use it for the drash of goyel v'doyvek, but still the pshudishol mikro is sodet. Sodet means, by definition, chutz b'mechitzasai. So mele, it means ubar b'me'imai, it's within its mechitzas, it is tar. So just because you want to take the word and make a drasha, we'll let you make the drasha. But you can still have the ikar, shudishal mikra, and derive the same chiddush as Rabbi Yishmael, that an uba b'me'imah should be tar. That's how the Gemara is saying, according to Rashi.
Yeah.
It's a little shver Gemara, though. It's a little shver, but that's what the Gemara says.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael, I'm still not satisfied. So here comes the Gemara's answer. You touch a mace in a nefesh. It's a mace within a mace, within a person. A zel mace shebe nefesh. Where do you have a mace in the nefesh of a person? Heavy oimer. Ze ubar shebe me imai. You hear the drasha?
Yeah.
Hanogea b'meis b'nefesh in a person. A meis b'nefesh. Oh, so it's a geshmak a pasik. Rabbi Shmuel, what is he going to do with this pasik? Rabbi Shmuel, Haimi Boyle, what is he going to do for another drasha? Hanogea b'meis b'nefesh l'revius dom habam in a meis. It's coming to Imam Shem Ritama to teach you a revius of blood. Hanogea b'meis b'nefesh. It's teaching you, it's a ribui to teach you blood. A revius of dam that has come out of a dead body. What's the nefesh al adam shemetame? Have you ever heard revius dam? It's a drasha. Okay, it's a drasha to marbe a revius of dam. Now the question falls back. How does he know this? I don't need that. I already know that. From another drasha. A drasha that says even two mesim, the time I have another pasuk. So that pasuk teaches me this halachas. I don't need this pasuk. The pasuk actually means to teach me a mace shal isha.
When did this happen?
Wow, what a story.